You. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Today is the last of our pre-Lent Sundays, and the focus, appropriately for this time of the year, is love. Everybody's thinking about it, everybody's talking about it, everybody's planning for it. So, what is it, and why should we care? We pray that God would richly bless us with His love today and always. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Opening hymn 544, O Love, How Deep. It's a longer hymn, but we'll stand on the last verse, a Trinitarian verse. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other, and please note, during this pre-Lent season, we'll sing the hymn of praise, but we'll also sing the Lenten responses, Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of love. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come before You in prayer. Heavenly Father, today as we focus on love, help us to see how our attempts at love are often futile, designed to build ourselves up, fail in the expectations that You have. Heavenly Father, today teach us love, true love, in the person and work of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Heavenly Father, He not only is love, He not only demonstrates love, He has demonstrated that love for us and for our salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Hymn 544.
worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and heal us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for Quinquagesima comes from the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together. You are
the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your heart, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob.
The epistle lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 13th chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Lenten verse, page 157. taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our sermon hymn number 700.
and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 13, especially these words. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a day of high feelings and passions and emotions. It's a day to get together with that special someone and exercise those feelings and passions and emotions. It's a day when people will spare no expense for travel, fine dining, and a special wardrobe. It's a day. It's a day to share with someone. And it's a day that if you have to spend it alone, it's a tragedy. You all know the day that I'm talking about, right? Super Bowl Sunday. What were you expecting? By the looks around, by listening to people talk, by watching the newspaper and the television, the biggest day of love. See how we get things so mixed up? We live in a world that celebrates love. And yet in this world, the definition of what love is constantly changing, constantly moving. It's extremely elusive. For some people, love is a feeling or an emotion. For others, love is an action or a specific physical activity. But for most people, love is just a great big question mark. What it is, how to get it, and once you get it, how to keep it, how to hold on to it. My friends, today, on this last Sunday before we begin our Lenten journey, God turns our focus to love. It's an important topic, and He wants us to get it right. And our attention goes to that great chapter of love, 1 Corinthians 13. I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it in pictures. I've seen it crocheted and hanging on people's walls. I've seen it in people's kitchens, living rooms. And as I've attended to people on their deathbed, I've seen it in nursing homes and bedrooms as well. These words of love from 1 Corinthians 13, they're epic, they're iconic. And for the most part, the way we look at them, we get it all wrong. Pastor, I want 1 Corinthians 13 at my wedding. How many times I have heard that. In fact, as a young pastor, I myself was wondering, why in the world isn't 1 Corinthians 13, this great chapter of love, one of the appointed Bible readings for the wedding ceremony? We started doing a pretty in-depth Bible study on certain passages in preparation for marriage. Couldn't leave 1 Corinthians 13 out, right? List the characteristics of love according to 1 Corinthians 13. It's pretty simple stuff, right? Nothing really complicated. You don't need a dictionary or a thesaurus. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You want to have a happy marriage? You want to have a happy relationship, really, of any kind? It's very simple. Do all these things. Do them. Do them every day. Do them perfectly. Don't ever fail. It's pretty quiet in my office when we get to that point. Why? Well, everyone knows why. You can't. You can't do it. You can't live up to this expectation. You can't live up to this model or example of love. You know what Luther calls this chapter, and especially these verses of 1 Corinthians 13? He calls it an impossible example. An impossible example. My friends, 1 Corinthians 13, and especially verses 4 through 8, are some of the harshest, most condemning law in all of Scripture. God teaches us what love is. And as we examine what love is, we see how far we fall short from being the kind of loving, caring, compassionate, sacrificial people that God would have us be. Maybe we should be a little bit like Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, who decided early on in life that he was going to work really, really hard at being a man of virtue. Virtue's good, right? We would much rather have people pursue virtue than pursue vice. And so, Benjamin Franklin would on a regular basis get out a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, he would write a list. A list of all the things that he would like to do, virtue, and all the things that he would like to stop doing, vice. And he would get out that piece of paper and he would work really, really hard at cleaning up his vice and adding to the virtue. And you know what? He did a pretty good job. He would get rid of one vice and then start working really, really hard at improving himself and increasing a special virtue. But after a while, he discovered that when he got rid of one vice, oftentimes a different one crept right in. And he discovered that as he improved in one or two areas of virtue, two or three other areas of virtue started to go down. He was honest. He was sincere. He was hardworking. And he came face to face with this impossible example. My friends, we can't do it. Not perfectly. Not all the time. The old song, the old adage, you always hurt the one you love, is oh so true. And we know it. We know it very well. My friends, today we come face to face with this impossible example. And throughout the years, many people have tried to take these verses that extol love and virtue, and have tried to meld them or blend them in with biblical Christianity by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. And when they do that, here's what they come up with. Well, you know, if you try really hard, if you love really, really hard, as much as you can, you do your part, and then God will give you the rest. Or, your faith is made perfect or complete when you add loving actions, loving virtuous deeds to it. My friends, there's another old adage. If it looks like a duck and smells like a duck and quacks like a duck, guess what? It's a duck. Works righteousness by any name is still works righteousness. If our salvation is not by grace alone, the undeserved love and merit of God toward us, if our salvation and forgiveness is not by faith alone, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, not by works but by faith, if our salvation, if our forgiveness is not by Christ alone, if it's up to you or me or any other human being, guess what? We will always be in doubt. We will never be sure. No. We need to take these words exactly the way God has given them. This example is impossible. This agape love requires a sacrifice that none of us are willing or capable to execute or perform. And that's why this reading is here precisely days before we begin our Lenten journey. That Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. While this example is impossible for us, these words of 1 Corinthians 13, as well as all of Scripture, are fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ for you, for me, and for the life of the world. He is the one that is patient. He is the one that is kind. He is the one that keeps no record of wrongs. He is the one that is not arrogant or rude or boastful. He is the one that takes no pleasure in evil, but always, always rejoices in the truth. What is truth? The truth is we can't save ourselves. The truth is God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. This is love. Not that we loved God. Not that we cleaned up our life. Not that our virtues outweighed our vices. This is love. That God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice, as a propitiation for the sin of the world. My friends, if Jesus is only an example, then Christianity is just like every other so-called religion out there. We believe, teach, and confess that God took on flesh and blood for the sole purpose of winning forgiveness, life, and salvation for a world destined to hell. We don't love one another so that maybe God will love us. God has loved us. God has given us the gift of faith. Our names are written in the book of life. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours. And now, in joyous response to the good news of the gospel, in joyous response to God's love for us, we are free, free to love, to care, to serve. Not because it looks good on a checklist or a resume, but because that's who we are in Christ Jesus. We are set free to love our spouse sacrificially. Because we know that marriage is a gift from God. We are set free to love our children or our parents sacrificially. Because we know that God's gift of family is truly His gift and His way for us. We can love our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. The ones we know real well. The ones we don't know so well. The ones we know real well and don't really like. Because sacrificial love means sometimes we sacrifice our pride and our ego and our passions for the greater good. It won't be perfect. No human love ever is. But in Christ Jesus, even our futile attempts at love are perfected. Washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. My friends, there is a day coming up very soon. In fact, 1 week from today. It's a day when the world will celebrate love. Chocolate hearts, romantic dinners, football season over. It has all the makings for a real romantic celebration. Romance is good. God likes these things. He has set us free to enjoy them. But as the world talks about that kind of love, let's remember what true love is. Jesus Christ, living a perfect life for you. Jesus Christ bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross for you. Jesus Christ risen from the dead, never to die again for you. Jesus Christ really present in word and in sacrament for you. This is love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our love, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Being the recipients of God's great love in His Son, Jesus Christ, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we confess the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, and God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven,
and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both living and dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In addition, those requesting our prayers as printed on your news and notes, we also remember Nancy Velasquez, recovering from a mini stroke earlier this week, and also for Celeste, Joe Velasquez's niece, whose cancer has returned. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, Lord, your promise to be a rock of refuge for your baptized children. Be gracious to us. Create in us humble and contrite hearts, that we might always cry out to you for mercy. Fill us with your love. Grant us renewal by your Holy Spirit, that we may always abide in Jesus Christ our Savior, beholding His glory in His holy word and sacraments, and being made well by the same. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, Pastor Harrison, our synodical president, Pastor Snow, our district president, Pastor Geyser, our circuit visitor, and Pastor Poppy and Pastor Murundi, our pastors. Make your face shine on them, that through their faithful service, the eyes of those blind to your mercies may be opened and see the salvation that they have in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, our nation and its leaders. Guide them in the direction that you would have them go, that peace and prosperity, truth and justice, religion and piety may dwell in our land. Remember also those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and with honor. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, the widows and the orphans, the lonely and the downtrodden, the poor and the destitute, and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are shut in and unable to attend divine service with us. Be a mighty fortress for them, surrounding them with your compassion and care. Fill us with loving and generous hearts to be your instruments of mercy on their behalf, and send your pastors to bring Christ to them wherever they are. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, those who are sick, hospitalized, in treatment, undergoing surgery, or suffering any affliction, especially those who have requested our prayers. Comfort them with your presence. Sustain their faith through your gracious promises. And we beg you, O Lord, to bring them healing. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, those who come to this holy altar this day to receive the medicine of immortality in the Lord's Supper. Fill all who partake of your Son's very body and blood with His life and love, that they may depart in His peace, which surpasses all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
talked about in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate what we call the rite of fellowship at the end of each row. We sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Be sure that you remain addressed. We can acknowledge the presence of worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the internet or on the radio. We pray that God's gift of love in Christ Jesus will be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Stand for the offertory, page 150. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Number 632. 632.